This is a dream come true.
This is a dream come true, here to be here with Z, doing this. And it's coal wood, which all the best boards are made from coal wood.
All right, now, I drew this pattern as a guide. Now, do you want to have your board with a lot of rocker or just a little?
I don't know. I guess I'd like...
What you want is something in between, trust me. I'm the expert here, okay?
Okay.
So, here are your shaping tools. Now, remember, the board's already inside there, see, somewhere. And what you're doing is you're trying to find it. You know, reveal it.
Okay. Right? Okay.
All right. Every carve counts. Why are you smiling? Don't smile.
I'm not smiling. I'm just, you know, I'm excited.
This isn't like hacking a piece of ice. You know, it takes patience and finesse.
All right, already. I'm trying. Can you just give me the tools, please? Sheesh.
All right, here, take it. Take
okay.
It.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Here we go.
What are you doing? Look, if you're going to do it, you do it right. All right, look, first of all, with the grain. With the grain. You see what I'm doing here? You let the tool do the work, you see? Just like you're riding a wave, you let the wave do the work. You don't fight the wave. You can't fight these big waves, Code. Long strokes, loads of finesse. Find the board within the tree. Nice and easy.
Yeah, I got it.
See that? You just...
Maybe I could do it now, okay?
With the...
Can I do it now?
Can I do it now?
Yeah, like that. Got carried away, sorry about that. It's your board.
My board. Okay, with the grain, I got it.
Don't forget to eyeball it.
I got
once
it.
Once in a while.
Okay, long strokes with the grain.
Not too long.
Here we go.
You're doing it wrong.
Will you just let me? I can't. No finesse when you're in my face. Okay? Just let me make the board.
Do you want my help?
No, I don't want your help. I don't want your help.
Oh, you don't want my help?
I don't want your help.
Oh.
Okay?
All right, fine. Fine.
I just want to make my board.
Build the board yourself, man, all right?
Thank you.
I don't care what the board looks like. You're the one who's got to ride the day.
Fine. I'll. Thank you.
In there somewhere, go find
it. I want to walk over there, please. Please.
Don't cut yourself.
Frustrating, eh, man? You know, if you watched the news this past week, you saw several stories about the crowded airports and the patients, the people canceled and had to wait in line. Last weekend, our daughter and son, Michelle and Mark, came from Florida for just 2 days with Mark Jr. and a friend. Mark Sr.'s father had passed away during COVID, so they were never able to have a memorial service. And so they had school starting back up, and they had just this little couple days to come in and do a quick memorial service. But on the way in, one of their flights got canceled, and then on the way back, you know, Spirit and all other people were canceling, and, you know, just like you saw in the news, long lines of people being, they had to actually stay overnight, and just how frustrating it is. They waited in line for hours just to get information. And that can always be a very frustrating time. And we've all experienced some sort of frustrating situation like that. And the best we can, we try to control the events in our life so we don't have those issues. But sometimes they get out of control. And when this happens, all of us here remain perfectly calm. We use the time to calm others around us and share Jesus when we can, right? That may be you. But I don't, that's not usually my first reaction. I find there are times in my life when I can be very patient. I don't know why, I just have some great patience, and other times I'm anything but patient. And patient is defined as bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint, manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain, not hasty or impetuous, there's nobody here, steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. Defining patience is one thing. Being patient can be quite another. And we all like to be around patient people, particularly when we are the ones that are needing the patience. We like to be around patient people, and hopefully we strive to be patient in all things ourselves as well. William Langford wrote a poem really back around 1360, and in it he coined the phrase, he's attributed to coining the phrase, patience is a virtue. And the Bible does not say necessarily that patience is a virtue, but it does have a lot to say about being a patient person. Not the least, we find in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And the King James renders the word patience here as long-suffering. And that's a rather interesting word, long-suffering. Kind of says it all, really. And I think when you first think of a patient person, you don't necessarily think about them as suffering. Yet when you are struggling to be patient with somebody else, you get a new understanding of what suffering means, right? Patience is a virtue, is an old cliche, and all of us would want to, I think, hopefully be considered a patient person, and I suspect we all have a way to go. We are in an instant society. We're not used to waiting for many things. I've commented over the years about, you know, fast food, microwave food, high-speed internet. Now we have movies on demand, and we want it now, and we see that little buffering thing, and we get frustrated, right, when it's not coming down. And impatience has filtered in every aspect of our lives and culture, including relationships. It's a rare person that is willing to wait for sexual intimacy until marriage, and instant sexual gratification is portrayed continually on both TV and movies. We are impatient in every area of our lives. And one would hardly describe our culture as a patient culture. And this would be a good place to remind ourselves that the Bible tells us that we're in the world and not of the world. It's not our surrounding culture that is our standard, but rather God is our standard and God's culture, if you will. And you could say that the fruit of the Spirit goes a long way in defining God's culture. The way he is and the way he behaves. And early on the list, we find patience. And patience really is a divine attribute of God. We need the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to fully develop patience. Now, some people are a little more patient than others just by their nature, but we're talking about the kind of patience that God wants us to walk into, the kind of patience that reflects the heart of God. And Jesus made a rather informative statement in John 15. We should know it. 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The closer we are to the vine, the healthier we become, and more of the Holy Spirit's fruit is exhibited in our lives the closer we are to the vine. And since patience is a divine attribute of God, and it is, it's listed here in other places, then exhibiting patience in our life will require divine discipline, the work of the Holy Spirit. And perhaps patience best illustrates how we can do nothing apart from Christ, the times that we really need him in our lives and patience. Patience has been called love on trial, love refined, love purified, or selfishness defeated. And lack of patience is demanding your own way. And lack of patience is a lack of humility. And in the fruit of the Spirit as well, you'll find humility under gentleness and meekness. That's what those words translate as, a type of humility. And the truth is, patience is developed, though we don't want to know this or hear this, through difficulties and trials. We can say we're patient, but we really don't know that till we go something. And Scripture helps us understand we don't develop that until we go some things in our life. One definition is enduring trials or pain without complaint. We may endure trials or pain, but what about the complaining issue? And when we first think of patience, we likely think of being patient with people. And that's applicable, but there are many other places we find that we need patience. Scripture acknowledges that we will have struggles and that God will perfect us in them. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and following. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. I mean, you can hear the attributes of patience in this and the things that everybody's going through and that we have to work through them. Be humble. God will exalt you in due time. Be sober or self-controlled. Resist the devil. Be steadfast, knowing your brothers and sisters in the Lord are going through something very similar at one point or another. And then Peter follows that up with these verses, verses 10 out of Peter 5. But may the God of all grace, I love that expression, the God of all grace. I mean, you know, we could just look at that for a while and go home, we'd have church. The God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Really? Did he really put that in the word? After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And these life's challenges that we face that require patience and endurance, God is perfecting you, establishing you, strengthening you, and settling you. I mean, that's a list I'd sign up for if I could walk in that in perfection. And notice the end result is for his glory and dominion. Why? Because you're becoming more like him as you line up with these things in your life and the fruit of the Spirit in those different trials in your life. God is patient. He was patient towards you and me prior to knowing Christ. And thankfully, he's patient with us now. Now, Romans speaks of judging others and says that when we judge others, we're really judging ourselves because we do the same thing. And then it says this in Romans 2, 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Look at how the New Living Testament says. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from sin? Isn't it an interesting concept in the Word? I mean, we think of sin and God, you know, the wrath of God. And he's saying his kindness is going to turn you from sin, the grace and the patience of God in our lives. So when we're called to be patient, being patient is a reflection of God. We're all thankful that he's patient toward us. Colossians 3 tells us that, we're raised with Christ, seated with Christ, and we're in Christ. We're told to put off the old man, put on the new man who's being renewed in the knowledge of him and the image of your Creator. And after saying that, then Paul writes this in Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. This is after putting off the old man. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I don't know about you, but that's quite a qualifier. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I mean, sometimes we lose our patience with other people and don't realize we really need to be walking in forgiveness. And forgive as the Lord forgave you. I mean, God forgives me all things. And what I read in the Word of God, amen. There's nothing he doesn't forgive me for. That's how we're supposed to walk in life. And notice that the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life begins to reflect the love God has expressed towards you and extends it through you towards others. We love the love of God expressed in our lives, but letting it flow through us and extending out to others sometimes, we're a little too judgmental for that. We're not really necessarily ready for that. And this is the fruit of the branch expressing the essence of the vine, if you will. The fruit of the branch expressing the essence of the vine, who is Jesus Christ. In Peter's second epistle, he writes, how come some people are saying, why has Christ not returned? Where's this promise? What's going on with this? And Peter's response to this is this, in 2 Peter 3 and following, 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you. Not anyone to perish, but have everyone to come to repentance. This glory, patience of our God. And when we are impatient, we're being selfish. Demanding our own rights, our own way. We are being un-Christ-like, just like the world. Now, I think we all want to be more Christ-like. That's our desire. And we desire, I said this several years, that we don't, you know, you don't want to just become, you don't want to just be a believer, you want to become like Christ. I've said this way, there's more to being a believer than just believing. You're called to become a becomer. It's one thing. Some people, I've said over the years, they accept Christ. I said it's fire insurance just to get out of hell. But sometimes you want to have more than just believing. You want to become a becomer. You want to become like Jesus Christ. And patience goes a long way in establishing that. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What a precious scripture. We're being transformed into God's likeness, into Christ's likeness, with an ever-increasing glory of God. It comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. God is involved, and yet he calls you and me to get involved in this part of the walk in our life as well, to work it out in our walk. And any understanding of Christianity will bring about the knowledge that we become more Christ-like. I mean, few would argue with that. Our goal is to grow closer to Jesus and become more like him. We begin to see that patience and understanding at times are tied to one another. When we refuse to endure a wrong, we carry a grudge. We carry a grudge. And when we're carrying a grudge, and we all know what that's like, we're not spiritual, we're carnal. When we think of somebody that's upset us or offended us, and they've done it again, and we've lost our patience with them, we start carrying a grudge. That's not God. That's carnality. If patience is a divine attribute, and it is, then impatience is carnality. And patience is enabled in us by the power in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus shining through us. Scripture tells us what? That God is love. And we recognize that, and we also recognize 1 Corinthians 13 as the love chapter. We've looked at this in years past or many times. But notice verse 4 of chapter 13. Corinthians 13, 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. You begin to see that patience, if you will, is tied to walking in love. And some translations say love is patient or it suffers long. And we know when somebody is not functioning in patience, particularly when it's towards us. We don't always recognize it in our lives, but we know when somebody's not being patient for us. If you search for an antonym for patience, one of the words you'll find is anger. The opposite of patience. You may remember the name, if you go back, if you're maybe as old as I am, but Arthur Ashe, he was a world-renowned tennis player from the late 60s through, I think he retired around 1980. In 1975, he's winning a fierce Masters tournament against the famed Romanian. This fellow's name was Ili Lisnatest, and they nicknamed him Nasty because of his behavior, his antics on court. He would stall, curse, taunt, act like a madman, just to unnerve his opponent. Finally, in the middle of this tournament, Arthur Ashe sets his racket down and walks off course. With a $130,000 prize at stake, he said, "I've had enough. I'm at the point where I'm afraid I'll lose control." The umpire tried to stop him, saying, "You're going to default the match." He replied this, "I don't care. I'd rather lose that than lose my self-respect." The next day, the tournament committee got together and came to a surprising solution. Refusing to condone the taste bullying tactics, they insisted than to chase the fault, the match, for his unsportsmanlike conduct. Someone commented, Arthur Ashe won both in the game of tennis and in the game of life. But we all act like that in that situation. And being patient certainly is not a blessing to others. And maybe that's how we look at it. Well, I'm just going to be patient. I'll be a blessing. But it brings peace in our lives. When we walk around with a short fuse, lack of patience, we lose our witness for Christ. And God is equally specific when it comes to our interaction with each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 1 and following. Paul writes, I beg you, I, a prisoner here in jail for serving the Lord, to live and act in a way worthy of those who have been chosen for such wonderful blessings as these. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Try always to be led along by the Holy Spirit, and so be at peace with one another. Patience truly is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work, the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And I wonder how you and I, how many times we've made excuses for our behavior instead of cultivating the fruit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Think about that. When we're excusing our behavior, we're not cultivating the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're not allowing the Spirit to move in our lives. This divine attribute of God, patience, is part of His plan and will for your life. Get that. Being patient is part of God's plan and His will for your life. Paul writes to the Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us in the kingdom of the Son He loves. If you're ever curious about what you could pray for me, Pastor Ron, just pray that scripture right there. Take that verse. I mean, I'll take that, won't you? What a beautiful prayer. And that's where God wants you to grow in those things. So patience is long-suffering. Being patient sometimes goes beyond tolerating somebody else's behavior. And being patient also means trusting God. We think of being patient with each other, and some people try our patience, right? That expression. What about being patient with God? Being patient with God means you know that God is working in your behalf. He has your best in mind, and you're trusting in Him. And we can all get impatient with God. We've prayed, we want answers, and we want them now. And being patient means that when you're waiting on God, that you don't give up hope. I've seen so many people, they get frustrated and they give up hope and they begin acting out of what they want instead of just waiting on what God wants for them. And developing patience enables you to endure trials. Developing patience enables you to endure injustices. And being patient develops endurance in you and strengthens you, as we saw a few minutes ago. And this is important. Get this in your life. Developing patience is a way of discerning the presence of God in you. If patience is a divine attribute, if patience is a work of the Holy Spirit in your life, developing patience, growing in patience, it's discerning the presence of God in you, knowing at times you need to draw on that. Think about God. Think about the Old Testament, how many times God was patient with the Israelites. Over and over again, they'd fall. They'd have consequences, but His patience and love would come back, restore them, and rescue them. Look how patient Christ was towards others during His ministry here on earth. And then Jesus gave us a clear definition of what he sees patience tied to forgiveness is. One day, Peter comes to Jesus and has a question for him. Matthew 18. Then Peter came and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times seven. Well, what's happening here really is the rabbis of the day, and some even today, my research, the rabbis would teach that you should forgive somebody three times, but not the fourth. You don't need to. It's done. So Peter, he's being generous. He's saying, I'm gonna be real spiritual. How about if I forgive seven times, Lord? What would that make me look like? And what Jesus tells him? No, 70 times seven. And he's not trying to give us a specific number. Because if Jesus said that specific number was 490, we'd all be in trouble, right? Because we've reached that point of God's forgiveness in our lives. He's saying there's no limit to forgiveness. He's not giving us a number. He's just using an example of there is no limit. And so if they hold that there's no limit to forgiveness, it would hold that there's no limit to patience. It's easy to see. We're not going to be able to do this on our own. We have days when we're feeling particularly gracious and more patient than others, and we begin to feel pretty good about ourselves. Then we come to the realization that we're not to have patient moments, but a patient life. Because there's a big difference, isn't there, between patient moments and a patient life. I began by saying, we're in a society. We're used to having things now. We want that. We're used to it. A fellow by the name of Ben Patterson writes about waiting, patience, and hope. He writes this, hope is essential to waiting. Why wait unless there's something worth waiting for? There is a logic to the world's frenetic grasping for everything now. Not only does it lack humility, but it's given up on a future that is anything more an extension of the present. Eternity is a vague unknown. The here and now is what's substantial. The world reasons that since there's no great eternal hope to wait for, why wait for anything? He goes on to express how this lack of hope affects even the Christian psyche. He writes, Christians are hard hit by this attitude. I know many believers who formally subscribe to the doctrines of hope, heaven, and eternity, but who live practically as though they didn't. When it comes to how they deal with a difficult marriage, failing health, or a bleak professional situation, they live as though there were no tomorrow that shines through with God's promises. They act as though they're only the here and now and grab as much of it as they can. Scripture gives us hope and a reason to hope. Scripture gives us a future. Scripture teaches us to develop godly patience in our lives. When faced with an enduring a trial, we sometimes have to remember to wait with patience born of hope. We don't like that. Psalm 136 tells us this, my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, yea, more than those who watch for the morning. This longing for God to move in our life and to be hopeful and patient as he's working things out in our lives. God is a gracious God. He's loving, merciful, and he's patient and full of grace. Look at Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we glory in tribulations. What? That reminds me of what we looked at a couple weeks ago. I'll look at it in a moment. Not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Look at that list there. Why would you not want to walk in that in your life? And some translations render perseverance as patience. And we could see that. In fact, the Message calls it passionate patience. I don't know if I've ever been a passionate, patient person, but wouldn't that be a good thing to be known by? And a couple of weeks back, we looked at this here, James 1, 2, and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testings of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And we call that the blessings of adversity. Looked at it a whole different way. But this idea of going through trials in our life, going through difficulties, God developing in us the things, working in our lives the things that he needs to work out, and strengthening you, strengthening me, changing our character for the better. How much more do we need God? And God has a plan and a purpose for you and me, and we're called to work out the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And being patient is certainly part of that. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward, but I want to read you this little true story. It was written in Richie Reader's Digest once. This person writes, my grandmother was a ball of fire while Grandpa was slow and deliberate. One night, they were awakened by a commotion in the chicken house. Grandma sprang out of bed, ran to the chicken house, and found the cause of the racket, a large black snake. Having nothing to dispatch it with, she clamped her bare foot down on its head. There she stood until Grandpa arrived a full 15 minutes later. He's fully dressed, even his pocket watch was in place. Well, he said cheerfully to my disheveled and enraged grandma, if I'd have known you had him, I wouldn't have hurried so. Some people try our patience more than others, amen? And let's close and look at Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. Let's stand together and worship our God this morning.